One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
You're listening to the Degenerate Podcast. I'm Ryan Shores. With me, as always, is Dave Callens.
Howdy.
And Robert Timothy on the soundboard.
I say howdy. Don't take my howdy.
I pre-howdied you.
God damn it.
Bobby, few things here. Number one, I'm working on a new project right now. I want to play kind of close to the vest what it is, because nothing more I hate than announcing something that falls through.
He's making vests.
I'm working on something, and I'm very cautious who I choose to work with when doing a project, because what happens to me a lot, and I've mentioned it before, is someone will come to me with a project idea, whether it be a short film or a webisode thing or an online magazine, something. They'll say, I want you to write for this. I got this financial backer. I've got this going on. And what happens is I go, great. I do my part. Great. I spend hours. I spend energy. I come up with something that I'm very proud of. I submit it to them. And then I never fucking hear from them again.
Yeah.
And then I run into them like months later, like, hey, what's going on with our project that I spent hours and hours on of my time? Oh, you know, that's really on hold right now. Yeah. It's just, and I get, this is like the excuse they always give me. My girlfriend's family's just going through a lot right now. There isn't one excuse.
My dog needs surgery. You know what'd be funny is,
you know, I really want to put a pin in that though, because I really do think that had some legs someday.
I've had people do that to me a bunch too with podcasting, because they'll be like, "Oh, you do these podcasts? Can you show me how to? I'm really excited. I want to do it. And I'll spend hours. Okay, this is what you do. This is the equipment you need. In fact, here you can use some of my old equipment. Here you go. Hey, when did that podcast air? You know, I just." My landlord kicked me out,
yeah.
And now I'm not doing it. And part of me, like, I don't know if you feel this way, but when they do that, a part of you might be like, oh, fuck, did they just take my stuff and then do their project and not pay me because they were, you know, they were underhanded and
uh-huh.
stuff. And part of you is like, well, at least my stuff still exists. At least all that work actually materialized into something. It would almost be better if they were just a seedy motherfucker who was stealing your shit. But instead, they're just lazy and it's never going to go anywhere.
Yeah, I'd almost prefer that they completed the project, but I did not get paid or
right.
credited. I just that my work was not wasted, because some of the shit, super specific, you know?
Yeah.
Write me a script or a scene about like a chicken farmer. I can't just go use that again, you know? So, yeah. So I'm very cautious who I work with. In fact, if someone, it's to the point where if someone pitches a project to me these days where it's going to be an unpaid gig, which I'm fine with as long as it gets completed, I tell them, I want to be the last person that has to work on this. So,
well, it's always one of two things. It's like they either have an idea with no plan.
Right.
So I don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Right.
Or they have a plan, but once they actually have to start working, they're like, oh, this takes a lot of effort. Fuck it.
Yeah. They like to do the fun stuff first. The writing. Hey,
yeah.
Let's get together in my apartment and write a screen.
Right.
And that's a lot of beer drinking and laughing and writing. That's fun.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they want to get to the part where they're going to act. Oh, and they want to tell their friends, hey, I want to cast you in my thing
yeah.
and have them get all excited. But then after all that fun stuff is out of the way, then it's well, we need to secure a camera and a budget of $2,000
yep.
and think of a marketing strategy. Then it's, oh,
you got to scout a location.
Yeah.
You got to coordinate and schedule. And oh yeah.
Oh, my family's going through a lot right now. That's when that comes up. So the fun stuff. So this project that I've agreed to do just recently, I want the fun stuff to be the carrot at the end of the stick. But like I said, when other people have a project for me, like when it's all their brainchild, I tell them, I want to be the last person to work on this. After everything else is already in place, all the unfun stuff, all the hard shit, then I will write you a script or act in it or whatever you want me to do. I want it to be 90% done just so I'm sure it gets done.
Yeah.
And I don't care if you ever pay me, as long as the work I put into it goes into a project which gets completed.
And the hard part, too, is both with film and with things like podcasts, is the editing, because you will have
oh, here we go with the editing.
Days.
Bobby, like, oh, I have to edit so
yeah,
much.
Right? You'll have, especially with film, like days of editing to do for any amount of shooting you do. So you don't know. There are so many podcasts and student films and stuff sitting on hard drives around this country, probably more than have ever actually been put out or published, because nobody wants to get down and start doing 18-hour days of sitting in front of a computer screen clicking shit nonstop
right.
to try and make
you watching know, little wavelengths
right.
in front
Lots
of you.
More fun digging up bodies and desecrating graves.
That's right.
That's
why,
the fun shit.
That's why you get out and do that.
So, like I said, for these reasons I've mentioned, I'm very cautious who I work with. So I was speaking to a guy who I've not worked with before that is in editing. And so we agreed to meet at his office. And anyway, this is a little while back. I show up there when I think we're supposed to meet. I have it in my calendar.
The office is the back of a U-Haul truck.
That was another thing. I'm like, no more meetings at Starbucks. I want a guy with a fucking place of business. So I go to his office. I call him. I'm like, because it's locked. It's a Saturday. And I say, hey, I'm downstairs at your office. And he responds, well, why are you downstairs at my office? And I said, we're supposed to meet today. He says, next Saturday. So right there, I'm like, okay, a mistake has happened.
Right.
No problem. Could have easily been my fault as his. And I'm not really going, you know, these things happen. But I do want to figure out who made the mistake.
Of course.
You know, so I go, no, I'm pretty sure that we said this Saturday. And he says something that made up my mind right there that I will not be working with this man. He said, that's impossible. Is it impossible? It's impossible you made a mistake is what you're saying.
No,
Let's
it's impossible for him to say the phrase this Saturday.
Right.
His body just can't do it.
It's like the Fonzie trying to say, I'm sorry.
Yes, exactly. Physically impossible. No way he did it.
Side note, when Ryan said, I was fine with it, but I wanted to know who made the mistake. Immediately, Dave and I said, yeah, of course. Just take a second to think. Wouldn't it be amazing if you had the type of psyche where you'd be like, oh, someone made a mistake. No need to check. Let me just go home. Like, there's people like that on Earth, and I'm so fucking jealous of those
people.
Oh,
yeah. The people who just let things go.
Oh, yeah.
Even when I wake up a few hours before Aaron, and I need to busy myself, or I'll just start laying in bed thinking of things that I haven't been able to let go.
Yeah.
To the point where when she wakes up, I'm waving a yellow pad around and just ranting about things that happened 2 years ago.
In third grade, Billy stole the soccer ball. It was my fucking soccer ball.
Nah, he kicked it over the fence and he wouldn't go get it. So anyway, I said, how is it impossible? And then he doubled down. He said, look, I'll prove it. Then he sends me a photo text of his calendar
right.
with something he wrote in it.
Right.
Something
Rock
you
solid.
Something you wrote down is not evidence to the contrary.
Also, by the way.
I don't care what you fucking wrote. I wrote on a piece of paper. I have a 20-inch
like,
dick.
He's like, that's impossible. You're like, are you sure? He's like, I'll prove it. He sends you a screenshot of him texting you, that's impossible, 1 minute ago.
I mean, literally, he could be talking to Ryan on the phone. Oh, wait, what? And then writing on that calendar the next, like, that is
oh,
no
absolutely.
Proof whatsoever.
Yeah.
No, right. How do I know? Because it did take about 2 minutes for that text
right.
to come through. How do I know you didn't do this right now? So the fact that he finds him making a mistake impossible.
Did you have like some kind of text proof or a voicemail or something or an email that discussed the date you could go back and find? Because that's always the
was
gold
it all
standard,
verbal?
Right?
It was all verbal.
Oh,
it was, so, I mean, there was no doing that because that has happened before. Ooh, the worst case example of that was, I'm going to say 3-4 years ago, I was booked to do a gig here in San Diego. It was a punk rock promoter, and as you guys know, like I used to open for a lot of punk bands. You know, that was how I really, you know, sharpened some of the tools I have, and it was tough to do.
Mostly axes and hatchets.
Yeah.
This girl did a punk show every month, and I was supposed to be on the December show. And anyway, I'm preparing for it. I'm supposed to MC the whole thing. And at the beginning of December, I said, okay, so what time do you want me there, you know, on the 12th? And she goes, fuck off. I don't rebook flakes. And I'm like, Amber, there's got to be some sort of miscommunication here. It just wouldn't have it. Nope. No. And then she's like, I booked you for the November show. I go back through tons of emails
right.
and text, find it where she clearly says December 12th.
Right.
I send it to her. Look right here. You said you booked me for December 12th. No, like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. No, anything. She's like, oh, well, I might not be even doing that show much anymore. I'm like, yeah, you give me my emotional compensation.
Yes.
I need to be emotionally compensated for those curse words you threw at me.
That's the other person I'm super jealous of, because if I had just gone off, if I was so sure somebody had flaked on me and treated them that shittily, hopefully I wouldn't, but if I had, we all make mistakes. I would be so mortified when I got that text. I'd be like,
absolutely.
Oh shit. And then my first thing, like, oh my God, did he Photoshop that? I better go check my own shits. Oh my God, I am wrong on this. What? Do I send him a flowers? An edible arrangement?
Chocolates?
How do I make up for this?
Yeah. Season 2 of Cheers on DVD will do it for me. It was not resolved, and it will not be resolved, because that's impossible. That's one of those phrases that there's a high percentage that if you're saying it, you're probably being a fucking dick.
Oh, absolutely.
And there's lots of phrases like that vary in percentages to what I'd say. If you're saying the words, that's impossible, there's about a 50% chance you're being a dick.
Okay, fair enough. Because there's plenty of useful terms. Like,
oh, sure. You're a scientist.
Yeah. Like, somebody comes in, hey, I'd like you to be in L.A. in 20 minutes. Yeah. Sorry, that's impossible.
Right. So I'm going to give
that
one a 50%.
Attitude it is, sure.
I'm going to give you a phrase where there's an even higher percentage that if you are saying this phrase, mm-hmm. you're probably being an asshole. This is ridiculous. I'm going to say that there's an 80% chance, maybe 85, because usually when someone's saying, this is ridiculous, the scenario is, this is ridiculous that there's other people in this restaurant, and because of that, it's taking longer for my chicken and Diet Coke to come out than it would if there was less people in this restaurant I also chose to be. This is ridiculous.
I like that chicken and Diet Coke is his go-to meal example.
First of all, it's a good meal example.
Meal example? That was a drink.
Somebody at this point is sitting there listening to Degenerates podcast with their headphones on. They pull it off. They turn to their wife. I'm sorry, I can't listen to this anymore. This is ridiculous.
No, here's the 15% where you're not an asshole when you say that. The story Ryan told a couple of podcasts ago where he was at the observatory and the bartender was ignoring him.
Right? This is ridiculous. Short
run, this is ridiculous.
I don't know if I said this is ridiculous. I just said, what the fuck? No, it's very much, I've heard it in the service industry. This is ridiculous that someone called in sick and they're understaffed.
Yeah.
I assure you, we're not happy about this either, ma'am.
It's something that someone very entitled will say.
Right.
This is ridiculous. You won't meet my demands.
Yes. Oh, that's another one. I demand. I've heard that one. I've had people like, when I used to work at the hospital, like, I need to speak to Dr. Marshall. I'm sorry,
That's impossible.
I'm sorry he's not here, or I'm sorry he's with patients. Then they revise it. They tap the finger on the desk. I demand to speak to Dr. Marshall. I'm like, still no, and now I think you're an asshole I'm going to laugh at later.
And then they go, you can't judge me.
Nobody can judge me. Here is one. There is a 110% chance you're being a fucking... I'm not even going to say an asshole. I don't say this word lightly. You're being a cunt if you say the next word phrase here. Please do your research. If you've ever said that, even if you were right.
I usually see that in arguments with conspiracy theorists.
Yeah.
Anti-vaxxers, chemtrails, shit like that. Do your research.
Or that someone who doesn't understand you're joking. I remember once I made a joke that Girl Scout cookies are a form of child slavery. And,
that's pretty funny.
And so I'm like, yeah, it's forced labor. They're not getting compensated for this work that you're profiting from. And this woman just irate. Oh my God, please do your research. I'm like, I don't need to. Research what a fucking comedian is, cunt.
The companion phrase with that is, I've done my research, bro. Like, if someone just has a ridiculous point, you're trying to disprove them, as Bobby does often with his science.
Absolutely.
And they come back with, I've done my research. Yeah. Like, oh, all right. You're an expert then.
I read it in a book.
See, and I will give you this, Ryan. I see where you're coming from with this. I'm going to change your percentage, though, because I have seen quite a few legitimate ones, and it's from the other side, from those conspiracy theorists you're arguing about when somebody's like, listen, the world is flat, man. Here's how you're doing. And you're like, listen, man, just do a little bit of research. Come on.
There's a couple that I've noticed.
You
as well.
Bother to talk to those people. That's your fault.
That's 100%.
Oh, I love
that's so
to
weird that
I
you guys will.
Love
if
it.
Someone's just like, oh, medicine makes you retarded and the world is flat, I'm just like, I'm not going to.
So that, entertaining.
Like, okay, let me ask you guys something. Since you guys actually engage these trolls, when you're driving down the freeway and you see a homeless guy with his pants around his ankles screaming at traffic, fuck you, do you pull over and go, sir, there is no reason for that kind of language?
There's
let me
a
tell
lot
you,
of good people on this freeway, sir.
Please do your research, hobo.
No, there's a couple that I love too. One of them is when you just are an asshole and you try to back out of like, hey man, I was just joking. Like, you just say the worst thing, and if anybody calls you on it, dude, relax, I was joking.
I despise that. You know what? You get that a lot from people that think it is a free pass to say whatever they fucking want. You get that a lot with coworkers, you know, that, you know, because they don't want to get, you know, brought into the manager's office for saying something wildly shitty.
It's usually racist and misogynist phrases.
Yeah. So
whoa,
just like,
joking.
Whoa, lighten up, man. Get a tougher skin. Like, no, you just said something shitty to me and now you need to answer for it. You know what? The other main way you see, I was just kidding, is when some guy takes a ill-received pass at a woman or sends something really creepy when they're drunk on Facebook.
I mean
extraneous things like my fiance's really close friend, her boyfriend, now ex-boyfriend, sent her a very creepy message like, hey, I think we should get together, I've always had a thing for you, no one needs to know.
And as soon as
like she of course showed me, forwarded it to her his girlfriend, it was just kidding. I mean, come on. Obviously, I would never. I'm just kidding.
You know,
it's not the get out of jail free pass you think it is.
If they owned up to it later and be like, you know what? I was actually just kidding about kidding. I was really serious when I sent that first message. I just wanted you to know I was just kidding about the kidding message.
It's like the Inception.
Dude, there's another one I hate. When anyone who talks about, quote, their haters.
Oh, the haters.
If you talk
that
about
that, is probably the
haters,
highest percentage.
Oh,
I'm
going to
say
God.
That's probably the highest percentage of being an
Do you guys remember when you realized you had haters, you just realized you were an asshole and didn't have a lot of friends and realized some personal improvements needed to take place? Now it's used as like evidence that there's some sort of like minor celebrity. It's really weird. I mean, I'm fragile enough that if a lot of people were attacking me at once for something I said, and it's happened, I'd be like, oh my God, like,
retreat.
No,
I was kidding.
Yeah. Well, no, a lot of times I am kidding because it's in response to a joke that might have been in poor taste. It doesn't matter that I was kidding. It was in poor taste. And I've been like, all right, the people have spoken and deleted it. And like, all right, sorry. Maybe I didn't think that one through. I have no problem doing that. But these people, when they put up a tasteless whatever and people attack them, it's loving it, man. Loving it. Look at all my haters. You're just making me more famous. I'm like, are you a retarded person? So, yes, the haters one is definitely one. Speaking of someone who has a lot of haters.
Oh, yeah.
Tim Allen's off the air again.
Well, he doesn't have haters so much as the liberal Hollywood elite is just keeping him down.
That's right. For those of you that don't know, there is my least favorite show probably ever, next to The Big Bang Theory, was taken off the air finally. It was called Last Man Standing.
I did not know this show existed.
Lucky you.
Until it was taken off the air.
Oh, that.
What is the premise? Is this like a continuation of Home Improvement?
You know what? It very much is. It is basically Home Improvement, only instead of three boys, he has three girls.
Okay.
So now, and by the way, other than that, absolutely no difference. Like instead of working with tools, he works at a hunting and camping gear place.
And he's 20 years older, I guess.
Instead of a TV show, he has a video blog, you know, that real
he's
men
so
like.
Cutting edge.
Yeah. And so I did watch one episode. I don't even think it was by choice. You know when you're on an airplane and they're like, now we're going to show a CBS show.
Yeah.
And that's how I've been exposed to the worst television programming has to offer. It's being on a plane and being like, my phone's dead, I guess I'm watching this, and going, oh.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's basically Home Improvement, again, same jokes, Same recycled premises. It's like the guy, same laugh track. It's like he went to sleep in 1996, woke up, and they said, make a TV show. I went, oh? And just did what he knows. It's like TV has not evolved in the last 20 years. It was critically panned. It was hacky, unoriginal, unfunny, and it got taken off the air, rightfully so. I'm surprised it made it fucking 6 seasons. No, I'm not. Two Broke Girls did.
What you mean was it was a real show tackled the issues and represented America, and the Hollywood liberals just kept it down.
Well, because famously, Tim Allen is a conservative and has a lot of kind of like conservative humor and stuff like that, and so I guess his response to that was, hey, you know, we look at our ratings. I guess they didn't have horrible ratings, even though it's a bad show. It's not that surprising. But he's like, oh, look at our ratings and stuff. But the real thing was that the network didn't own it. So because it was done by an independent production company, they weren't getting any money off the back end, especially if they're going to get into syndication. So they have much less of an incentive to keep a show like that on the air. Basically, it's what can you do for me now? Okay, the numbers right this second aren't great. We're not looking at millions and millions in syndication later on. Boom, you're cut. Easy as can be. If the network had owned that show, that thing would be on for the fucking next 5 years because they'd be making all their money after they get to 100 episodes in syndication.
I just don't like the part where anyone blames their lack of talent on their haters and politics. Like, maybe you were just a creatively bankrupt hack. Did that occur to you?
And you mentioned something a second ago. Like, I haven't had cable in years, so I'm just... Whenever I hear about shows, I'm shocked that The Big Bang Theory has been on the air for 10 years.
Oh, my God.
And you mentioned earlier, I had no idea Six Broke Girls was still going.
Two Broke Girls.
Whatever it is. How many Broke Girls? I don't know.
However many it takes.
Yeah. But that just got canceled too, right?
Yeah. I'd seen that. That seemed to be always on. Where is Last Man Standing is always on in airplanes. Two Broke Girls is always playing in a bar I'm about to perform in, and I remember the first time I was singing, I was playing a bar up in like North County, and like I had an hour to kill. I'm sitting on the patio outside, there's a TV out there, I'm watching it, I'm like, this is horrible.
And just
set up punch, predictable punchline. And like, I remember as I was watching it for the first and last time, our buddy Groobs texted me, he goes, have you ever watched Two Broke Girls? Because I'm watching it right now, and I want to throw up. And I'm like, that's incredible, but yes.
I think it should be set up missed punch, by the way, if you're going to get a little bit more accurate. Yeah, it's so funny when you see the previews for that, because you think on the previews, when you're watching regular TV and they throw a preview on for another TV show, you kind of want to hit with your A material. You know, you're trying to show, hey, this is how funny we are. Hey, check this episode out. And every single one of their little 30-second previews of Two Broke Girls, you're like, there's no joke. Wasn't a joke.
That was just you saying things.
Yeah, it was fucking horrible. What could the actual show be like?
No, their method was like, this isn't very good, right?
Right.
This show is so much better. Come check it out.
Another thing in the news is I woke up yesterday morning treated to another article that yet another person is, I forget, either killed themselves or killed someone else live on Facebook.
Oh, really?
Again.
Oh,
have we not, as a society, just lost our privileges for Facebook video? I feel like we should have it taken away from us. We've obviously proven we can't handle the responsibility.
There's a reason YouTube vets the videos before they make them public.
Right.
when you post a video on YouTube, they go, okay, hold off for a few minutes before you share this because it's not going to be live until we have one of our people look through it.
Right. Yeah. And you know, just between people killing themselves, people gunning down elderly men for no reason, people, animal abuse, those ones are running rampant. Between, you know, someone boiling a dog live, I just think we've lost the responsibility. Think about it. If our society was a teenager and we had done this, our parents would have been like, you know what? You've shown me you cannot handle this responsibility. No more. And secondly, I feel like I'd enjoy Facebook just as much without videos
probably
on
it. More, actually.
Yeah, probably more.
Because in addition to all the shitty videos you're mentioning, there's so many videos of like, hey, watch me eat a sandwich.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, well, I'm walking down the street.
I just feel like most Facebook Live videos are just a 30-second clip of somebody going, wait, what did that button do? Wait, why is it showing me? Oh, fuck. And then it cuts out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Or somebody riding their motorcycle. Like, awesome, bro.
Yeah.
No, or the ones, I love this one, the people that are giving a long speech to you
to
about something, you know, to their haters, and not realizing that 90% are watching this shit with the sound off. I don't think I've ever just gone through Facebook full volume. I'm somewhere where there can't be volume. I'm killing time. Right. And so someone, I just see them going on a diatribe silently, and I'm like, I hope you didn't spend too much time on that. So I think we've lost that privilege. I'd be fine with it being taken away from us. That's kind of the way I feel about guns, to tell you the truth.
Just take them away?
No, not necessarily. Just like...
Liberal Ryan.
Yeah, just like, we've lost the privilege. That's it. You've all proved you can't handle the responsibility. You know what I'd like to do? For all the, you know, gun nuts, like, don't take my fucking guns. I would like to be like, all right, if there's one more shooting with a guy who got it legally, we're taking them away. I bet you everyone would be like, well... What if an insane person gets one legally with no criminal background? I'd be like, well, that'll do it. Like, well, we should implement some tests to make sure that there's... I think so. Well, what if some guy buys a gun and... Okay, all right, we need a lot of laws here because I don't want my guns getting taken away. Let's put more laws because I've never said take away guns. I've said put more laws.
That's how you got to do it. Like, especially... And that's where the Democrats fuck up so much is like that kind of mentality... You have to make them think it was their idea.
Mm-hmm.
And the Democrats are just like so heavy-handed, like, you got to do this. And you got to be more subtle. You got to make them think they thought of it. You got to make them think they need it.
Next person that does a mass shooting that got it legally, we're gonna take some stuff away from you guys. They will start implementing the laws themselves.
Well, what's silly to me is, so like, I'm not a take all guns away guy.
Neither am I.
I've lived in rural areas, and I see the need for them and stuff like that, especially if you're a hunter.
Plus, he encounters mummies every once in a while.
That's true. You got to take them out somehow. Yeah, everybody knows mummies are immune to knives. So I'm for that. But my whole thing about it is like, man, you have to go through so much fucking training to drive a car. Why is there not a single bit of training you need to get a firearm? I can walk into Walmart right now and go purchase a firearm. They don't know that I can see well. They don't know if I'm mentally disturbed.
You are because you're in Walmart. So
they don't know that I know how to handle the gun in such a way that I won't blow my fucking head off when I'm cleaning it. Like, there is no restrictions. You should have a license the same way.
You could come in, by the way, not only just that, you could come in wearing a cape and a tinfoil hat.
Right.
And that's not going to have any bearing on whether or not they sell it to you.
And here's the thing.
If the founding fathers had included cars in the Declaration of Independence, then we wouldn't need those fucking tests either.
Here's the thing. When I bring this up to other people, I have a lot of friends who love guns and who own guns and stuff. When I bring this up, I can always tell who knows their shit. Because the people who actually are gun enthusiasts, who are hunters or who are anything else, who actually know how to use their weapons and teach their kids how to use them right, go, yeah, that sounds like no problem to me because I teach my kids how to do it anyway, and I think other people should know it. The ones who just went out because they got drunk and insecure one night and purchased a shotgun on eBay, those are the guys who are like, fuck that.
Yeah. That goes back to what we said last episode. Like, you can't judge me. I'm like, I'm fine with people judging me because I feel like I'm batting a good average.
But yeah, the guys who came out of the army who can strip down a gun and put it back together well-oiled in 15 seconds are like, yeah, I had to learn how to do this. Somebody else should, too.
The guy who watched Boondock Saints is like, that looks cool. I'm going to go buy a gun. I mean, if you need training for guns, there's obviously you need training for fists, right?
That's true.
Oh, registered fists.
Yeah, obviously.
Registered weapon fists.
I'm not talking about unregistered fists.
Bobby, you fill the audience in on why you're laughing.
Oh, God. Well, we had a funny incident, and I don't want to call anybody out too much because we had a great time, but you had another poker night at your house. This time, unfortunately, unlike last time, there were no topless women walking around this one, but we had some buddies over.
Prostitutes, Bobby.
Yeah, there was prostitutes. Sorry, they were prostitutes.
My idea.
We had some buddies over. We were all hanging out. And we actually started super late. I got there late. I thought the party was going to be over. I got there like 11 something.
Yeah, I was there. I left before you got there, so I missed all the fun.
Yeah, and we we ordered the fights at midnight. So, of course, everybody's a little bit drunk, a little bit into it.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. And we ordered the fights, and we were watching it. And then somebody else who happened to also be somebody who's new, who you know isn't somebody who's maybe well-established in Ryan's group of friends, started bringing up some stuff, including the fact that apparently his fists were registered as deadly weapons by the police.
Now, absolutely. Let me give you the seating chart while this is happening. I have an L-shaped couch, and on the far right is a Steven Seagal registered hands guy. Next to him is my dog. Next to the dog is Bobby. Then there's, I forget who was sitting next to me, and then me. And I can see that me and Bobby are trying to look at each other through the side of our eyes. Right when he says, oh yeah, for 3 years I had to register my fists as legal weapons. We are trying not to give, because again, he's a very important person to a good friend of mine who's at the party as well.
Right.
And I don't want to upset my good friend by insulting his friend. So also, he's his ride, so it'd storm out, and then party's over. So me and Bobby are trying not to give anything away, but Bobby doesn't realize I'm trying to look at him. Bobby thinks I'm too drunk to have noticed this happen.
I am covering my mouth with like the drink I have. I'm like using it to cover my mouth as I look over at Ryan like, are you fucking hearing this? Are you hearing this? Registered weapons?
And I'm looking at Bobby like, there's no way Bobby's letting this go. And I'm fine with it because there's no way I'm letting it go either. And lucky us, not more than 2 minutes later, Jason Statham got up and went to the bathroom, and immediately when I heard that door click shut, I'm like, Bobby, did you fucking hear that? Oh God, tell me you fucking hear that. He's like, oh my God, I thought you were too drunk to notice. Oh yes, I forgot.
Well, what Ryan had missed is before he sat down on the couch, he was explaining to me and another one of our friends how he used to fight in Mexico. And this is before that claim, and I know a lot of people who maybe have dubious MMA backgrounds but did go do some TJ fights. That wasn't totally uncommon,
right,
for a while.
No.
Especially back 10, 15 years ago. And so he had said, I used to fight in Mexico, and I immediately got interested. I was like, oh, interesting. Like, what's your martial arts background? And we started getting into
it. And he said, unregistered fists.
Yeah. No registered. Dave.
Registered. No, he didn't want to get a ticket.
He filed a serial number off of his thumb. So it's untraceable.
Oh, fuck. My tags are expired.
And so I started
going to get a ticket.
He said he was a wrestler, and I was like, oh, interesting. And we started getting to talking, and I was like, where did you fight down in Mexico? Because I trained some guys who had fought in Mexico, so I know some of the fight rings. And I was like, where did you fight? And he's just like, oh, you know, around. And I was like, okay. Like, and I named a few. I was like, oh, did you fight at the Matador? Did you fight here? Did you fight there? And he was like, yeah, that one. Silence. And I was like, oh sweet, okay, interesting, what weight class did you fight? And he listed a wrestling weight class that I know for a fact they don't use in that specific MMA, especially down there in Mexico. They only have a few weight classes down
there. Come on, Bobby, they're on the metric system. It's all different. You wouldn't get it.
And I was like, oh, okay, interesting. And by this point, our other friend who kind of caught on to what was going on was like, he was just fucking with him a little bit. And it's like, oh yeah, really? Oh, how's your record? Who are you fighting at? And it was after that Ryan came and sat down, and shortly after we learned about, of course, his registered fists.
Registered fists.
Like, I think later he was in a biker gang as well.
Oh, that's right. He said he someone mentioned I don't know the Hell's Angels, and he started explaining how he got his patches. I'm like, have you just done everything?
When he said he got his patches, did he mean from a head shop down in Ocean Beach, or
no, from selling Girl Scout cookies, which I still say is child slavery.
Dude, you guys are just lucky that his fist didn't go off. You know?
Yeah, actually, you know, Bobby,
knock a candle over on your night.
And he seemed like a very nice guy. I'm sure he's a sweetheart when he's sober. Sometimes when people get drunk, they just get a little loose-lipped or whatever, and it just is what it is.
You know, Bobby, in this country alone, there are over 18,000 accidental fist deaths. I mean, kids can play with them. You know, they get into their dad's fist safe. He forgets to lock it.
Show their friends, look at this fist.
Yeah. And by the way, never keep your fist clenched. That's not responsible.
Sadly for trouble. Oh God.
Oh, that's not a thing.
I'm so sad I missed that.
Another thing that happened is I did a show recently. Did a few shows this week. They were all good, but I got the pleasure of working with. You guys will understand why this is both bothersome and amusing. I get the old timer that has decided to do comedy later in life. You know.
Uh-huh. And, the guy who was big a couple decades ago, and now he's...
Right, yeah. Well,
quote-unquote big.
Right, we're not sure about anything. That I just don't believe anything anyone says anymore. There's people who are stars in the 80s and have their fists registered. I don't know what
they're doing. You got to do your research, Ryan.
I guess I have to do my research. Anytime that I'm performing with an old-timer that's just started comedy, this is uniformly so. They're always treating it like some sort of comedy fantasy camp. Like, they're, like, convincing. I don't know what's going on in their head, but it's not the reality we're all living in. Like, they're constantly. Let me give you an example. Bobby, let's do a little improv here.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. All right?
I want you to be me. You're the comic.
Okay.
We'll still call you Bobby.
There you go, raspy voice.
Yeah, yeah. Don't do me. That's gonna take people out of it. You do you. You're the comic. Uh-huh. Gonna have to do a little acting because you're gonna have to pretend you actually make money at this.
Okay, fair enough.
So now, Dave, I want you to. He's gonna have a conversation with the guy he's performing with. Let's call him Rich Provolone, professional comedian.
We're bringing Rich back.
Yeah, yes.
I thought he was an archaeologist.
Oh well, he does it all, Bobby. Okay. He does it all.
He's also in a motorcycle gang.
He's got registered feet. And if you remember a year back, he's also a lounge singer and a comedy class instructor.
Okay.
So remember all of
busy
that.
Busy schedule.
Busy schedule for Rich Provolone. Not the point right now. Now, when I'm talking to Bobby, Dave, I need you to be a series of bar patrons. Just kind of interrupt and say something that a bar patron might say to a stranger. Don't try and make them funny. Just play it straight. Give me exactly, you know, hand me that napkin or something, you know? Okay, so, scene, you're sitting at the bar trying to be left the fuck alone so you can get into your head because you're about to do 30 minutes on stage.
All right.
All right. Enter Rich Pro. Bobby.
Oh, hey.
Bobby.
How you doing?
Bobberino.
I hear you.
Baba Laba Ding Dong.
Also on the show with me.
Bob Churian Candidate.
It's not my name.
Ah, another day, another dollar, huh, Bobby?
Indeed.
This is what we do.
Yeah.
Stand-up comedy. Professional comedians. You and me, huh?
Right.
Oh, boy. Just a few, 30 more minutes now, and we'll show these people what the comedy business is all about, huh, Bobby?
Exactly.
Bobby Reno.
I need to use those 30 minutes.
Hey,
just
can you guys pass me
material.
Those pretzels over there?
Oh, sure thing. You know, us professional comedians, by the way, have to keep these pretzels close because we do a lot of performing. We get malnourished if we don't get enough sustenance. So, we always keep the pretzels close. Here you go. Rich Provolone, professional comedian.
Why the fuck does this place not have a green room?
So, Bobolino, do you have an agent or do you just book yourself on these gigs?
I have a manager, kind of an agent thing. I can't really put you in touch with
me. I saw that you were playing the East Coast last summer.
Uh-huh, yeah.
How do I do that? How do I do something like
that?
Well,
I actually have family back there. I set some shows up. It's actually a lot of hard work. You need to do a lot of stuff.
No. What? I need numbers, Bobby. Give me some phone numbers I could maybe give a call. You know what? Even better, you know these people. These are your people. These people love you.
Yeah.
How about you call them for me?
Well, no, see, it's a lot of work even for me.
Bobby!
Set up my own show.
Bobby's Cavadino!
Hey, you guys, I'm going to step outside and smoke. Will you make sure no one takes my seat?
Oh, no, that's fine, but not too long because in 20 minutes we'll be doing a comedy show here. We are professional comedians. Rich Provolone, professional comedians. Yeah, that's what we do here. I'll keep an eye on it. But you understand, it might get sold out in here because we are very popular comedians.
Rich, I hadn't even asked, how long have you been doing this?
I
haven't worked with you before.
Interesting you should ask.
Yeah.
Well, I just got back into things.
Okay.
About a year and a half ago.
Okay.
But before that, in 1987, I was actually a national headliner.
You were a national touring headliner?
I was all over the planet.
That's amazing. That's a really rare thing. Let me look you up real quick.
There was no silly internet like that back then.
Thankfully there is now though, and it is retroactive. You can look up things that happened.
Right, but there was no internet back then, so, you know, things get lost. There's no way to really, you may not find a lot, you know?
Okay, where did you tour? Where did you go?
All over, buddy. All over.
Okay, what was big back then? It was before my time, obviously.
The Improv, the Comedy Store, did them all.
Oh, okay.
Star Wars!
Is this seat taken?
No, it's not, because you know what? It's going to fill up in here quick. A guy can go outside to smoke, but you know what? Get your seats while you can, because in 30 minutes, a comedy show, I'm actually one of the comedians on the show, a professional comedian. Yes, have a seat.
Sir, I'm so sorry about what he's doing right now.
Oh, you mean riffing? You know, little yes and,
not
right?
Not exactly what we're doing
no?
here, but... Rich, I'm actually leaving this show right now. I'm going to go outside and smoke with that gentleman.
Well,
seems
all
like
right. Well, if you change your mind on giving me that contact list, you know, let me know.
To.
It's richprovonecomedy.net.
Yeah, no one's looking at that.
All right. See you, Bobby. Star Wars.
And see.
Thank you. That is what it's like. It's exhausting hanging out with the fucking people at shows.
That is funny, though. I love the non-self-awareness of that, too. It's like, hey... you did something. It cost a lot of work, time, probably a little bit of your own money, certainly some blood, sweat, and tears. Let's say you do that for me.
Yeah, a lot of that. And now there's one thing to be like, hey, can you put me in touch with one promoter?
Right.
There's some people, believe it or not, like, just do the whole thing for me. I don't care what it is.
Is there really any difference between that and going like, hey, so you have a job, right, and you make money. Can you give me some of that money? All that work you put into it? I mean, like, look, you have money. I would like money. It seems like if you just give it to me, we've solved our problem.
You know, that does happen, though. Like, you know, you had the friend like, hey, where do you work? Oh, can you get me in there? Like, I feel like that's a reasonable question. However, I'm all, like, once you're on the other side, you realize, no, it really isn't. I don't know someone in HR. What do you want me to do?
But at least then what they're asking is, can you get me a job? Not, can you just give me the spoils of your job?
Can you give me a paycheck?
Yeah.
I'd really like one of those paychecks. Dude, maybe bi-monthly, if
possible.
Actually,
if they could just do cash, that smooth out some tax issues.
Yeah, yeah, get a little bank. I'm between banks.
Dude, I saw a clip on Facebook today. A friend of mine who is friends with one of these washed-up comics for some reason. There's this guy up in L.A., super washed-up, older comic, quote, comic. And for some reason, a couple of my friends revere him. I don't know why. But that dude posted a clip from when he was on one of those dating game shows 20-some years ago.
Yeah.
And it was
singled out, buzzed.
No, it was like the dating game.
Oh, wow.
Like old school,
super
shit.
Long microphone era.
Yeah. Yeah. And so this guy was like, he posted his clip like of he got the date with a chick. And he was also doing voice commentary of the clip, which I didn't know until a couple minutes in. I'm like, oh, that's
wait, he
him.
Did like DVD commentary?
Yes. But you couldn't tell at first until it... Oh, that's him.
No, was he doing it ironically? Like, oh, look at that stupid hair.
No, he's like, oh, check this part. This is really good.
Oh, so like, he was just like, people want to know what I was thinking.
But this actually ties back to early in the show because one of the segments, he went on the date with a chick, and the chick, she had said she was really busty. And so then she was talking about how during the date, he kept talking about her body and things he wanted to do with it. And the host was like, wow, that's really forward. And then the guy on the show, not now guy, but then guy, he was like, hey, I was just joking around.
Oh, yes. Oh, harkening back to, hey, just teasing.
But wait, is he putting this up as a kind of like, look, I'm kind of a big deal? Is that the point?
Yeah.
I think the greatest response to that would be, and you can look this up, there's actually a serial killer who went on one of those dating game shows. And I think he might have ended up like winning the dating game show, but they never went on the date or something because she was weird. There's a serial killer, and they show his responses, and it's pretty fucking eerie. You should just post the clip of the serial killer also on the dating game.
Looking back when they said, oh, what would you like to do to me? Like, I'd like to dissolve you in a bathtub full of acid.
And everybody laughed. Oh, my God, how quirky.
It was not the red flag you thought it would be. He was also sitting there in a clown suit with a fucking axe.
So just saying, that's going to be us three in about 20 years.
Yeah.
Oh, we should go on one of those dating shows. Like, win your fiance back.
The degenerate dating show.
Oh, that's such a good idea. Now, Bobby, before we go, I have a question for you. New movie's coming out.
Do your research.
I'm trying to right now. The Mummy. They're making another Mummy movie. I thought
Bobby's
you immediately.
Specialty.
Yeah. First of all.
Why aren't you in these movies?
Yeah.
Because Brendan Fraser iced me out.
Well, that's my question. How did you feel about previous Mummy movies?
I hated them. It's all stupid bullshit. Like, there's no good writing or commentary or anything in those movies.
But are the mummies really that scary? Like, are they that dangerous?
You know what a good, like, horror movie, mummy movie that would be realistic is? Somebody uncovers a mummy, they, like, take it away from the anaerobic conditions where there's no oxygen getting to it, and then somebody gets sick from, like, a 3,000-year-old virus that's in there that's still alive.
Oh, that's called a mummy's curse!
There you go.
Okay, so really, though, like, what is missing from the mummy movies in your eyes?
Talent.
Frankensteins and Draculas.
Talent, writing, an interesting idea, plot points, realistic action.
You know what's not missing? Tom Cruise.
Oh, they're bringing him into the new one, aren't they?
Yeah. My big problem with it, is, aside from being a CGI shitfest, I mean, a little bit of CGI, fine, but this is just... Were you even on a set, or was it just a big green screen the entire movie? But they made a pretty, from what I can tell, pretty attractive chick as the scary mummy, For me, I don't care if it sounds sexist. That takes me out of it. If I want to bone the antagonist, it completely takes me out of it. I don't mean for it to. I would really like to be scared by this ancient...
Are you saying you didn't want to bang Freddy Krueger? Because you, sir, would be a
liar. No, he brings up a good point. Like, it's hard to be like, oh my God, she's so terrifying, but I'd totally bone her.
Yeah. Just even, like, she's got jet black hair, smoky eyes. I'm
her
like,
eyes split in half for some weird reason.
Yeah, you know, I'm like...
But you're right. No, she's hot. Yeah.
Yeah, in the preview, all I can think is, damn, she's hot. And if I was actually Tom Cruise's character and this evil mummy was actually coming out of me, in that one instance, yes, I'd be scared of the hot chick. But when I'm safe in a movie theater seat, all I'm thinking is, there she is again. She's hot. That's all I can think about. I need a scary-looking woman. You can still make her a woman.
You're talking about Vivid Video's version, X-rated mummy, or whatever they're going to call it.
Okay, here's how you make a really scary...
The humpy.
Here's how you make a really scary mummy Egypt archaeology horror movie, and it's super realistic, which is you have a bunch of people in, like, 2010, a bunch of archaeologists working in Egypt, and then all of a sudden the Arab Spring happens, and a whole bunch of rioters take over and try and murder and kill you. Which
are they
actually,
mummy rioters?
Yeah, which actually happened to, like, Zahi Hawass and a couple of the other Egyptologists at the
really?
Time.
Are
yeah.
they werewolf
Did they
rioters?
Behead them?
They would have if they caught them, absolutely.
Oh, they got away.
Yeah, they got
That's
away.
That's a good movie.
And that would be difficult. And then also then you have ISIS coming through like the Middle East and just destroying archaeological relics. And
ISIS, the Egyptian goddess?
Yes, exactly.
I like where this is going.
And you had a couple of like badass brave historians who literally hung out with like revolvers like fighting ISIS.
All right.
That would be a way better horror movie slash action adventure movie.
Throw in a Dracula and you got something.
Okay, now Bobby, let me ask you one last question. All right. Pre plot point where the mummy comes back to life and has powers, before all of that,
right.
when they're just going into these tombs, what is the part you take most issue with in any stereotypical we're going into a tomb to find a mummy?
It doesn't work like that. Obviously, like you do things so incrementally slowly in archaeology for obvious reasons. Like you go in, if you've discovered a new chamber or a new room, first of all, nobody's even allowed in there for a decade. You're putting in robots and cameras and stuff because you don't
want to.
Because you have bacteria.
Because mummies, bro.
Yeah. There's bacteria that you have just by breathing out that you're going to expose the rest of the tomb to. So if you want to do things like get DNA samples from epithelial cells or things that are in that tomb, you don't want to corrupt it with your modern-day bacteria and all this other stuff.
That sounds like a shitty movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it's boring. That's why there's explosions in space in movies.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why they just go up to a fucking tomb, put a piece of dynamite at the door, and blast it open.
Or you can have the real, like the biggest...
Hope that preserved everything.
The biggest... archaeology horror movie is just a guy looking at his grant form and it's like terminated by the Trump budget. Oh no!
And then a big dust cloud shaped as Trump comes in and engulfs him. Oh! The end.
Screw cultural preservation. We're building a freeway through this.
All right, I'm Ryan. That's Bobby and Dave saying see you next week. Cruising with the twos. I have a 20-inch dick.
Yeah, time passing by. Oh, yeah, time passing by. Oh, motherfucking time is passing by.
Oh my God, how quirky!